What is really going on, crypto savages? You are listening to the CoinSpice podcast with host C. Edward Kelso, editor-in-chief at CoinSpice.io, your home for spicy crypto things on the net.
This is indeed a treat because it's rare that we get on business people, people actually in commerce using and trading with crypto, and get a sense of their feel for it, some of the good aspects of using cryptocurrencies, maybe some of the negative, and a real world use case idea. And that, of course, is none other than Jeff Klee of Cheap Air. And before we get into everything here, first off, thanks so much for coming on.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Let's get right into it then. A little bit about your background and how you came to Cheap Air.
Yeah, well, it's actually a company I started when I was in college way back in 1989, and I certainly was not supposed to be doing this for this long, but here I am. I started kind of really just screwing around, selling spring break trips and doing a little bit of discount tickets to Europe, and I was all set to go to law school after college, and right before I decided, you know, what the hell do I want to be a lawyer for? So I figured I'd screw around with the travel business while I figured out what I really wanted to do. And then the internet came along, and I was always very interested in technology. I still write code. And so that kind of solidified it. Then suddenly I was combining two things that I really love, the travel and the technology aspect of it. And here I am, many, many years later, I'm still doing it.
And that's incredible. And you've seen, I mean, a complete and utter change in your industry. I mean, if there's any industry that's been impacted by the internet and technology in this space, it is definitely travel and travel agents. I can remember there having to be brick and mortar. You'd actually have to physically go down to see a travel agency.
Our original advertisements were order airline tickets without leaving your home, because we would FedEx you paper tickets so you can do it on an 800 number. And so we thought that was so great that we were letting people get a ticket without having to go into a travel agency. So, you know, we've obviously come a long way since then.
But you were definitely ahead of the curve. You saw that people wanted convenience, and you know, it's just one of those things where you know, I could imagine schlepping down there. I guess there's good to that, right? So there's like the personal touch. You get to know the person. Have you ever been to the Bahamas? See this and see that and see this and see that. But now there's so many different, you know, ways to get that information that really, I don't want to take it out of your realm here, because I really don't know your business all that well. But now, basically, you guys are brokers, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can call it that. I mean, we're selling, you know, the advantage of coming to us is that we offer all the airlines as opposed to having to go directly to each airline site. But I think the human element is still important to a point, and a big part of our business is actually corporate travel. And, I think most people at this point, they rather do everything themselves until they have a really big problem. So, you know, if I'm buying an airline ticket, I don't want to have to talk to someone. I want to be able to do it myself. But if all of a sudden there's a hurricane in where I am and all the flights are canceled and I'm, you know, have no way of getting home, it is nice to be able to call someone and help me out of that situation. So I think, you know, most of our business is all done self-service, but we still have a big customer support team for when things really get bad and our customers need help.
Yeah. And we had to, when I say we, I mean the internet culture and internet business and commerce have had to learn that lesson that you need kind of a balance. And as you say, more towards self-service, but then that customer aspect and having some, you know, a person on the line is super, super important. We did a podcast episode a little while ago where a lady who uses Bitcoin Cash frequently, we kind of wanted her on as sort of an enthusiast. She didn't have anything to sell or market. She wasn't a developer or a polemicist. She was just a regular old cryptocurrency user. And she talked about working with a travel company, and I won't name them, but she it was just a terrible experience. Everything was farmed out. She tried to call. They booked the wrong hotel. I guess the hotel kept the name, but then switched. And she's just had a terrible, terrible, terrible problem with them. And you sort of reminded me of that. How is Cheap Air different in, I mean, obviously, you know, you focus on the air aspect, but how are you different with regard to customer service?
Yeah, and we do hotels too, but customer service is a big part of our offering, and it's one of the ways we differentiate. And like I said, not everyone cares about that, at least in terms of routine transactions. But if you do have a problem, if you do need help, you know, you can pick up the phone. You'll reach us, you know, pretty quickly. You know, our whole customer support team is U.S. based, and with crypto specifically, we I mean, I'll be honest, when we started accepting Bitcoin, most of the people providing customer support didn't know a thing about it, and we quickly realized this is a problem. You know, if a transaction somehow got lost in the network and our support agent didn't understand what the customer was talking about, that was exacerbating the frustration. So we since then, I think we've done a really good job of training our people to, you know, understand the basics of crypto. Now they're not all you know, super passionate crypto enthusiasts, some more than others, but they can certainly help with the issues that come up. And in fact, we have a dedicated team just for crypto support that's especially well trained in those issues. But I mean, I do think that the service part of our business is still important. I mean, with given all the competition out there, it's one of the ways we can differentiate ourselves.
For sure. And my assumption would be that your company maybe had some hesitation in taking crypto. Do you remember about when you guys sort of jumped in, or toe dipped at least, about when that you started taking?
Yeah, no, I remember it very well. It was in 2013, and it's been a while, and it had been something that I didn't know a ton about Bitcoin then, but I had read about it, and I have kind of a libertarian streak, so when I read about it, I was fascinated by it and intrigued by it. And and in one of our developer meetings, I said, hey, you know, think we could start accepting this? You know, what would it entail? We did a little research, and we got hooked up with Coinbase, and we realized that it wouldn't be that difficult for us to start accepting. And so I'll be 100% honest, when we first started accepting it, I didn't expect any traction whatsoever. It was kind of a publicity stunt, and we were going to a conference, and we wanted to have some big announcement, and the other big announcement that we wanted to have wasn't ready yet. So about a week before, we're like, okay, what can we do really quickly that, you know, might get some people to pay attention to us? So we're like, let's get this Bitcoin thing going. And we did. And I have to say, I never expected it to the results to be what they were, but it is from the beginning. I mean, it got decent traction, but it was really gratifying to me. I mean, I started, you know, meeting and talking to some of the Bitcoin enthusiasts who became our customers, and I got, you know, pretty sucked into everything about Bitcoin, and I really. I mean, one, they were great customers and still are. Like, you know, we get one of the challenges in our industry is just lack of loyalty. I mean, someone might book through us once, but the next time they're still going to check 10 different sites.
Right.
And if, you know, someone beats us by a dollar, they're going to go elsewhere. I mean, the Bitcoin, our Bitcoin customers have been extremely loyal and supportive. They're, you know, quick to, you know, sing our praises online, which we definitely appreciate. Bitcoin customers also tend to buy more expensive products, which is normally good for us. We usually, the amount of money we make on a sale is proportional to the amount of it. And they've also been, I mean, in terms of, because it's a pretty tech savvy group, I mean, I've seen some great emails that have come either to me directly or to our support team from crypto customers, just with recommendations for, you know, how we can improve our site and our product, things that mm-hmm. have nothing to do with crypto. And they're all really thoughtful and good and helpful. And so it's been, it's been really great to work with this community and to, you know, have them as our customers. And I'm really appreciative. And what started out as a, you know, quite honestly, more of a publicity stunt than anything, has become a really a significant part of our business, but also part of our business that, that brings me a lot of joy.
And that's, that is, I'm glad you mentioned that ethos within the space. I think it's part of just the open source, maybe quasi-libertarian, little L aspect to cryptocurrency, in that it's such a nascent idea that we all want it to succeed on some level. So if a business is putting their neck out there trying to, you know, grapple with this new idea and all the headaches that it brings, you know, the least you could do is try to, hey, you know, maybe you could try this and maybe that'll work and take that. And I certainly want to spend, you know, time talking about the benefits of it. I'm always careful of hopium and being a little too Shangri-La about things. So why don't we start with, what are some of like just the pain in the butt, like just issues that, that are constantly occurring, whether it's, you know, fees or looming regulations or banking or anything like that, that someone like, you know, you and being a business person and having, you know, you're a veteran, so you're not new to this, dealing with crypto, what are some of the pains in the butt with regard to it?
Yeah, so I mean, in the earlier days of us, well, really up until last year, we were using Coinbase as our processor, and there were a lot of pain points there. Where if the, you know, we would get a lot of transactions that would come in, you know, underpaid, or if the, you know, the price had changed a little bit,
right?
And they just didn't handle it well for us, and we didn't handle well the way they handled it. So there was often a long delay, and sometimes, you know, by the time we would even be aware of the situation, it would be even worse. Like the, you know, the value of the crypto had fallen even further, and it just created a bad experience for the customers. So that was one. I think during the peak of there were, you know, during like, you know, late 2017, like, I mean, fees were ridiculously high for a short period of time. I mean, just to do a refund, you know, cost a, you know, sometimes we're paying $35 just to refund someone money if they canceled a ticket, and that wasn't sustainable. And the transaction times, I mean, it's certainly gotten better. It's still far from ideal. But what we did, I mean, Coinbase ended up, as you may or may not know, they got out of the merchant business, or at least the way they had it in place up until last year, and that sent us scrambling for a new solution. And now, so we've been using BTC Pay Server, which is open source, and we've built kind of our own process to accept crypto, and we do have to exchange most of it for fiat, because we got to pay the airlines, unfortunately, won't take crypto, right? And most of the money is going to them, so we got to exchange it out pretty quickly and pay the airlines. But now that we're handling it all on our own, and we've got much more control of it, and we can, you know, if something comes in and it's slightly underpaid, we can, you know, we will normally, assuming it's, you know, within some small amount, which it normally is, you know, we'll just accept it. We'll just put it through, or we don't, whereas Coinbase would send it down this completely different process where we wouldn't even be aware of it for a while. So we're able to handle some of the gotchas of accepting crypto payments much more or much better than we used to, and so that part is good. I think things work a lot smoother. I mean, refunds are still it's more manual than to refund a credit card. I mean, with a credit card you can push a button. We've automated it as best we could. So it's better than it used to be for us, but it takes a little bit more time than I'd like it to take to process a refund. But for the most part, I think it works really well now, and definitely a lot better than it did in 2013. I guess my biggest disappointment with it, you know, and like I said, it's been largely a positive experience, but I think that, and this goes beyond my company, I think crypto has not as a form of payment hasn't caught on the way I would like it to with, you know, more broadly, especially here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the problem is all the reasons I love crypto are also the reasons that consumers don't necessarily feel that way. And I mean, I'm a big one of the drawing points for me for crypto was the bank credit card fees are absolutely outrageous. I think it's crazy that in,
right,
you know, 2019, it needs to cost 3% to process a credit card transaction. But the problem is if you're an average consumer and you don't care about, if you're not ideological about it, you're just trying to, you know, it's all about, you know, what's best for me. The reality is it's hard to compete with a credit card because the consumers get all the benefits and the, you know, the merchants accept all the costs and the risk. So, you know, consumers like to get their points. They like to know that they can, you know, cancel a transaction with their bank if they're not happy with it. And so I think largely because of that, it's a tough sell to, you know, the average person who doesn't really have a dog in this currency fight, to say, hey, you should stop using credit cards and start, and switch to crypto. So I think that, you know, there's a great community of people who are really passionate about crypto and see the potential, but it's not growing the way I would like it to grow. And I guess I've accepted the fact that that's just, the U.S. is going to have to come last probably. I mean, I think they're, you know, we happen to have, you know, pretty solid currency in the dollar. So I think,
yeah,
you know, in other parts of the world, it's an entirely different story. I think that's where, as a commerce, you know, there's the whole debate, is Bitcoin a store of value or is it, you know, a currency? I think the currency people have a much stronger argument in countries that don't have such a strong currency like we do.
Yeah, and when you saw the fees back in 2017-ish, you know, rising to that degree, did it force you to look at other cryptocurrencies, whether it's Bitcoin Cash or whatever, and you know, kind of find other ways to route around that problem?
Well, so yeah, we do take some. Over time, we've added additional cryptos. We take Bitcoin Cash, we take Dash, we take Litecoin, and we take Ethereum, which is the last one we've added. And we're constantly mm-hmm. looking and listening to our customers for, you know, other ones that there might be interest in. So the I mean, I can't say it was a direct result of what happened in 2017, but it was, I mean, we've always been interested in, you know, if there's a demand for any form of payment, whether it's crypto or not, we'd like to be able to accommodate our sure. customers. I mean, I think what was happening in 2017, we recognized that it wasn't sustainable to have those kind of fees, I think on either end for the buyers or for us, but it didn't last very long. So the problem kind of took care of itself. That said, I mean, I think there are I guess the jury's still out in terms of transactability of the various cryptos. And I, you know, there are people a lot smarter than me who can speak much more intelligently on that. But I mean, I know that a lot of these other cryptos are attempting to solve some of the problems that Bitcoin has. I mean, there's also, although I don't know as much about it as I'd like to, you know, the Lightning Network sounds promising and there might be opportunities there to improve the process. So, I mean, I do think whether it's with a different cryptocurrency or with just general improvements to Bitcoin, I think there have to be, there's still some things that have to be fixed to make, for the crypto to really go mainstream as a, you know, as a currency for commerce.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And of the ones that you accept now, which it say in 2019, which are used the most?
It's pretty close between, I mean, Bitcoin Cash is second, but it's a distant second from Bitcoin. But then between Bitcoin Cash, Litecoin, those two are pretty close, and Dash is a notch below, and Ethereum is by far the lowest, but partly because we've only been accepting it now for, I think,
sure,
3 or 4 months.
Sure. And okay, so now switching to the the good aspects of it, which we might have touched on a little bit already, but and I appreciate your candor because I think it helps people who listen to get from a person who is, you know, a fan of cryptocurrencies, who doesn't have any necessarily dog in any ideological debate. He's just out there, you know, has a shingle out there and he's doing his thing, and this would help. So it's good to have those issues, you know, soberly presented. What's the plus side of taking cryptocurrency as a business person?
Yeah, well, as a merchant, I think it's great because one, there are no chargebacks, and we have a problem in our industry, and it's a huge problem, and everyone in the industry faces it. It's chargebacks, and not credit card chargebacks, not just for fraudulent transactions, although that's a big part of it, but also we're selling primarily non-refundable tickets. Almost any ticket that people buy is going to be non-refundable. And, you know, someone who is willing to lie to a credit card company can usually talk their way out of if someone buys a ticket and they decide they don't want to fly on it and they know it's non-refundable, they can call their bank and say, hey, I never authorized this transaction. And the bank's going to give them the benefit of every doubt. And, you know, every time we have a fraudulent report, you know, we can pretty much tell if it's legitimately fraudulent or not. And it's a big problem with chargebacks are a big problem. And so with crypto as a merchant, you know, it kind of reverses the burden of proof. So, it puts us in control, and, if we get a payment, it's ours until we decide to refund it. So, I mean, obviously that's advantageous for us. It's a disadvantage for the customer. But in our industry where there are so many people who are, you know, pretty unscrupulous about how they conduct business, it helps a lot. And, you know, fraud's a huge problem that this solves. Also, like I said before, the merchant fees, while that's not always a big problem in our industry, because in some cases, the airline, if you pay by credit card, the airline is the merchant of record, so we don't absorb the fees. I think in general, the fact that the fees are so much lower than credit card fees is a huge plus for crypto. I think the fees that banks charge and the interchange rates are outrageous. It should cost, you know, pennies to process a payment with modern technology, and really we have the same rates that were in effect you know, when everything was done manually with paper.
Wow.
Which there's no reason for. So I think that's a great selling point from crypto. And I think there are some selling points for a customer. I mean, it bothers the checkout process is so much better. I mean, if you're paying by credit card, just in order to try to figure out if it's fraudulent or not, we have to ask for your billing address, your phone number, all this. You have to give all this information. And, you know, I think most people would say, just because I'm buying an airline ticket, why do I have to give you my address? I don't want you to know my address necessarily. So besides the fact that it's an easier checkout flow where you just have to pretty much tap something and you make the payment, you also don't have to disclose information that you might not want to disclose and really isn't necessary to have to disclose in order to be able to get on a plane.
Well, we do have cryptocurrencies trying to solve that issue, and right now are, you know, fractions of pennies that they're charging. So, yeah, hopefully it'll catch on with more businesses using it and more people touting its conveniences. Lastly, before I let you go, you mentioned kind of dabbling in a little bit yourself. Do you have cryptocurrencies? Do you use it at all?
I have some. I mean, I wish I had more, to be honest. I don't normally use it in terms of you know, transacting business. I mean, once in a while, we use it from a within the business, if we're dealing with someone that accepts crypto, we have paid in crypto personally. I have some that I've kept in, you know, case Bitcoin goes to 100,000, like some people are saying, I'll be happy if it gets there. But yeah, so for my standpoint, I haven't really used it in commerce. I probably should, since I talk about it all the time.
Well, there it is. That's awesome. No, it's part of the process. We had kind of an interaction with a bigwig in the cryptocurrency space, and as I explained to you in the pre-interview, that CoinSpice is very much part of the currency aspect. So when we go out to dinner, we're the guy in your dinner party that will, you know, lean over to the waiter and say, "You guys accept crypto?" and make everybody uncomfortable. we were basically, a few of us were dining with a bigwig in the crypto industry, and this guy, to pay for dinner, whips out a credit card, and we were just like, "Woof, party foul." Let's try to get this guy out. And you know, his or her reaction was like, "Yeah, of course, that's of course what I should do." And so sometimes it's a little bit of that, and being evangelical when you can, because obviously it spreads it up. But I think ultimately it's what you're talking about, and that is the proof of concept and people using it and choosing it because it just makes economic good sense. Well, very cool. How can people, you know, find your work, find you, find Cheap Air and all that good stuff?
Yeah, cheapair.com is the website. Anyone's welcome to reach out to me. A really easy email address, jeff@cheapair.com. I really love talking to people in the crypto space. I learn a lot from them. I still have a ton to learn on it. I love when people reach out.
Well, again, you come highly recommended, as does Cheap Air from all the people we talk to. So thanks so much for coming on, and best of luck to you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks a lot. It was good talking to you.